Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Here we go, people. It's time for the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy right around the big brown land. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Jane, Mick.
Here we go. What have we got cooking today?
Hey, we've got a big show, team.
Like what?
Well, Doris Day has passed away.
Dead as a dodo.
She stopped her career after the age of 50. Did you know that?
She gave it all up. I was an admirer of her work and the way she conducted herself as a lady.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that.
We will.
We might get into the Deadpool while you're at it. It may have been a payout.
Might be worth a visit.
All right.
Rosie's on the election campaign trail. Adam Rosenmark's out. Where is he today?
I think he's in Sydney.
Okay.
Sydney? No.
Adelaide is.
He's in Adelaide. All right.
Who knows? It's all happening.
We have Andrew Denton on the show.
Oh, wow.
So well, he's Triple M royalty.
He's got the interview show back.
Yes, and he's got a couple of special guests.
Have you been interviewed?
Have I? I'm not on that show, no. I've been on an Andrew Denton show in the past.
What's he like? What kind of games he plays?
He's interviewing Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Will we interview him today or will we let him interview us?
Why don't we try both?
Why doesn't he show us what he's got? ask us some searing, insightful questions.
I think
questions.
He's got a bit of experience in the interview.
He does have a bit in that department.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Still on. Is that still on?
Does anybody watch it?
Everybody's watching it.
It's the penultimate episode next week.
Right.
But there's something I wanted to point out that happened in it as well.
We may touch base with our good friend Santo. There's much more going on.
Busy.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But firstly, welcome to the Big Tuesday
now, Mickey,
edition. What?
I watched you on Have You Been Paying Attention last night. Very funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen myself yet because, I don't like watching myself back.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Do you know what? I actually think he's serious here because I understand that. It's very awkward when you watch yourself back.
Right. Especially in live TV. You get it done. You walk away.
Okay.
And it's all done. Was I good? Was I the best?
You were very good.
The whole team was very good.
You didn't win, though.
Hey, congratulations on your ratings, which are astronomical.
The ratings were very good. Thank you, Australia. Everybody tuned in.
Welcome back.
Well, it's good for Channel 10.
Better than that idiot Matt Preston, who was okay.
I beg your pardon.
He was an okay lead in.
MasterChef do very well with the beautiful Nigella.
But you did better.
Hey, you know what? We didn't have Nigella on our show. Why don't we get her?
Can we get Nigella on?
Sure.
Yeah.
Make it Nigella week here.
Why not? Anyway, the show was great.
She can cook for me.
Yes. I think that's what she lives for, me. Hey, if you didn't see the show last night.
I didn't.
At least you want to hear a bit of how you went. Let's play a bit of Mickey last night.
Mickey with a new look for the new season?
Hey, I'm calling it the Don Burke look.
Nice.
Really just trying to cultivate.
Is that why you've gone with no pants tonight, Mickey?
That's right. Yeah.
To the UK, what is the new royal baby's full name? Mick.
Archie Harrison Mountbatten Booney Windsor.
Drama in New South Wales Thursday.
Police search warrant! Open the door!
What is going on there?
It's your standard early morning police raid, or as I like to call it, the wake-up reminder call.
A school in Melbourne has come under fire for renaming its annual Mother's Day stall to be more inclusive.
What did they rename the Mother's Day stall?
They changed the name from Mother's Day to Appreciation Day to spare the feelings of kids who didn't have a mother.
Yes.
Or, in my case, kids who had bad mothers.
Mickey.
Be honest, I could have been anything if I had a mother who loved me.
What's the top grossing Australian film in cinemas right now?
Top End Wedding.
Correct.
Yes. Thank you. I'm in the movies, so kind of stuff.
Yeah, Mickey, really.
Queen guitarist Brian May wants to hold another Live Aid in support of what?
Nick.
I'm going to say climate change.
Correct.
Ooh. Thank you. Take that surprise tone out of your
tough week for this Chinese vlogger. What happened? Mickey.
She got bitten in the face by an octopus. The only other person that's happened to is Matt Preston. And that's a very good episode.
celebrating?
Tottenham winning and going into the final of...
of the Champions League. Thank
you. Okay, don't finish my sentences.
To Norway, and this beluga whale made headlines.
Someone in that boat dropped their iPhone. It went to the bottom. The whale went, picked it up and returned it.
Mickey, absolutely correct.
They went through the photos and the whale had done a dick pic.
Oh, very good. Oh, very Mickey. Good.
And you didn't win.
Was that all?
Oh,
that's
all.
That's a nice little comprehensive package.
Do I get to come back and play for the cars or something? Or?
Look, I'm sure you're welcome
can
back.
Can I come back on?
Yes,
when?
I'm sure I can.
This
I don't
week?
Know. Would you want to?
Well, I like it, yeah.
Then why don't you have your Sunday off? Well, it's Monday off. Have some time off. You work
all
very
right,
hard.
All
now,
right.
When we come back, yes, we're going what? To talk about one of the great film stars, and she was a really funny comic as well, Doris yeah. Day. We're not going to bang on too much about it.
We might then get into Belle Gibson, who hasn't died.
No.
And doesn't look like dying because
no.
she faked
she
it.
She lied about it.
She's in court. We'll catch up with her.
Andrew Denton and more. We're away for the big Tuesday, Kennedy Malloy. Thanks to HSV with a Chevrolet Silverado, which does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
There's been a few deaths in the family. Peggy Lipton from Mod Squad. She was one that went.
Peggy Lipton.
She was the chick in it. You know, there was two guys and a chick.
Nah, okay. Not ringing a bell.
All right.
Who's the one from the Avengers?
What do you mean?
She was a hottie.
Which one?
The old series. The old series.
Oh,
don't
my
know.
God. Jeez.
Who was Peggy Lipton? What was her character?
She was just a hot, sexy chick with long hair.
Did she wear
hair.
Boots?
Yes. She wore
black.
Suede.
Suede?
Yes.
Was that a 60s show, wasn't it, Mod
yes,
Squad?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I'm going
yeah.
to talk about the 50s, though.
Right.
Oh.
Doris Day.
Doris Day, dead as a dodo.
Oh,
right. 97.
I loved her movies.
She had a good innings.
She yeah. did. She was a really funny comic. She was a great, people loved her singing. I liked her acting better than her singing.
Calamity Jane.
Yep, that's a good song.
She was, well, she played Calamity Jane.
Is it her voice
Jane.
When she goes, folks are dumb where I come from? You know, that was on her hat Saturday.
I need a parody of Dead.
She's not even. She's dead as a dodo.
She's still warm and there you are doing a kind of.
Not a parody, it's a comical
impersonation.
I'm doing a musical theatre rendition of
the
song.
She was. Calamity Jane. She, you know what she was? She was the ideal of the 1950s housewife. You know I bang on about the skirt with the apron, and the hot apple
the blonde
pie,
hair.
Hot apple pie on the bench, cool on the windowsill cooling. That's it there.
Doris that's what Day. You want, and you just can't get that today. I just don't know why.
It's getting tough. It's getting tough.
It's getting tough. What does Doris Day mean to you?
Well, she means to me. She means Billy Joel because I learned everything through "We Didn't Start the Fire." So had not been for that song.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray.
Did you or did you not have her in the Deadpool?
I did last year.
So you didn't get her?
Not this year.
No pay for you. Jim's on the line. Jim, yes, thank you, Jim.
That's right. Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, how are you guys going?
Yeah, thanks,
Jim. Some information
Jim.
For us?
Yeah, the Avengers, that was Diana Rigg.
Diana Rigg, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Put him in
and
the draw, mate.
Okay, mix right there.
Mix right again.
Mix wrong, Jim.
He was. Knee-high black boots.
Yeah.
Knee-high black boots.
Yeah.
Hot as hell.
Mick couldn't think of a name, but never mind.
Well, I was just listening to it and I thought...
Good on you.
That's who you're talking
we
about.
We need listeners like you, Jim.
Thanks,
thank you very
Jim.
Much.
Save the day.
Sorry, Chris.
Is she dead or alive?
Oh, don't ask me that.
Dead or alive?
Diana Rigg. We'll find that out.
Diana Rigg. Think she may have
can
passed.
We can we take...
Rest in peace.
Can we take Chris?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Good. What's your update on Peggy Lipton from Mod Squad?
Paul McCartney was shagging her from...
Okay, so...
Girls with long blonde hair.
Yeah. I had no idea Peggy Lipton was a nutbag, because you have to be to go out with Paul. Paul McCartney's choice in women hasn't been great.
Linda was all right.
Linda
McCartney.
Linda nutbag.
Get her singing backup vocals.
God.
She was a nutbag vegan.
No.
Get her, don't
get
even
her
mention...
singing backup on Hey Jude. Get it out.
Okay,
you
I'll
get
find
that
don't
out.
Mention the
and
one
the
with one leg.
Lincoln, who's on my list.
Heather,
she's on my list. Yeah. Heather Mills.
She's a shocker.
Heather Mills, knock
the
on wood.
The new one's all right.
The
did you say
one?
Knock on wood?
Oh, yeah,
you're terrible.
There'll be something terrible.
You're
happening.
Terrible. All right, so Doris
no, hang
Day.
On. He's gone. So
it's
let's,
on the Deadpool
let's
list.
Let's put something on the Deadpool straight away. Are you...
Someone else?
Yeah, so let's...
Okay.
Okay.
I saw a clip the other day of Martin Sheen.
You're putting Martin Sheen on it.
Martin Sheen?
Yeah. I thought he looked unwell.
Saw Hawkey the other day.
Mm.
Can I double down on Hawkey?
Yeah.
Can I take some long odds? I want to go for long odds.
I'll write this down.
I'll put Dave Hughes.
You
See? It just doesn't look well to me.
Oh, wow. You have a haircut. Does he look,
hey, you're going, putting Hughesy on
I'm going for a smoky. I'm going for long odds. And really? Toady from Neighbours. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, he's been through the ringer at the moment,
Ryan
Toady.
Ryan Maloney.
Right. He's had a big character arc, and I think he's drained.
Oh.
Yeah, he's lost another one.
It's a lifestyle issue,
that's
too.
Awful, I'm pretty sure. Oh. Awful. Hey, I found Linda McCartney.
Oh, you got Linda McCartney? Okay.
Hey, Jude.
How do we get into this?
Here we go.
That's been isolated.
No,
by
listen
way.
To them more. More. One of the most beautiful songs ever written. Mm. Absolutely massacred. That was her.
But when they isolate the microphone on people when they're performing, when it's all in the mix
together,
that's very harsh.
That's terrible.
I want to mention someone else who's not dead, but who said she was going to be dead.
Mm.
And that's Belle Gibson.
Belle Gibson.
Well, you've got that lilting, faraway look in your eye.
She's on my list too.
She is.
She's still on your list.
You know what you got?
She's in court today. Sorry, she's refusing to pay a $410,000 fine.
She can't
duping the
pay
country.
It, Jane.
Why not?
Because she doesn't have the money.
Why don't she get a job and work her ass off instead of setting up a fake charity?
She's still recovering from fake cancer.
I tell you, that's a game changer.
You
isn't
are
it?
Unbelievable.
You start going
the
with someone.
The way you hoe into.
Yeah, well.
I feel sorry for Belle. She's.
Do you really?
She's misunderstood.
Wow.
She was wearing all black at the court, like they would have
don't
been at a funeral if she had have died. If her cancer wasn't fake.
I thought you were about to say she looks really hot.
I mean, do you think fit? Well,
she's with her black glasses and her.
Hubba bubba.
Do you know, I heard that she'd said around the court today, overheard saying, oh, I don't know what the fuss is. I think all these reporters and journalists should really concentrate on some really big news stories.
Mm.
What, like someone faking their own death?
Yeah.
See, you're just anti.
Yeah, I am.
See, a pretty young girl who's done nothing wrong.
Mm. Got some more news on Diana Rigg coming through.
Oh, yes, we have, of course. This is Ryan. Hello, Don.
Hi, how are you going?
Don, you are very helpful.
What's happening with Diana Rigg?
You put Diana Rigg on the dead list, but Don's resurrecting her.
Yeah, she was Queen of Thrones, Marjorie's grandmother in Game of Thrones.
She was.
Really? Was she really?
Yeah, she was in about series two, three,
four. Was she still wearing her black boots?
No.
Maybe.
She looked her age, though, Don, didn't she?
Oh, she was a feisty old girl.
Well, I want to put Diana Rigg on the Deadpool.
Diana Rigg, all right.
Because she's got to be close.
I've got Angela Lansbury, by the way.
She's not gone.
That's odds on.
Oh, and everybody's going to say Betty White.
You might as well put Betty White on it.
That's not fair.
Take a punt, mate.
I've got to do someone
Mick Jagger, then.
Well,
he had the heart surgery a couple of weeks back, so he's not back on.
Thumpity thump. All right,
we'll be back in a minute.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
I love this story.
What
a bride-to-be has agreed to play the Champions League final at her wedding.
What?
Wow.
To make rival brothers happy. It's her husband-to-be and
she's
best
a keeper.
Man.
Yes.
Isn't she a keeper?
She
I love
is
this.
A keeper. That is, wow, what a woman.
Simone Starkey. She's 26. Does she have a sister? She's going to erect a huge screen on a big day so her Liverpool-supporting groom and his best man, who's a Spurs fan, can watch the match. And the guy, James, said he had the toughest conversation any man could face when he broke the news to his fiancée.
Well, mind you, someone's going to get glassed at this wedding. And the wedding car the bridal car could well be set on fire.
You're right,
and overturned.
He said, fortunately, she was on board from the get-go.
Isn't that amazing?
And she said, when I first found about it, I did have a slight Bridezilla moment, but she said, it's an important game for the boys and it's an important event. Isn't she lovely?
Wow. Well, this is.
She said, I'm one of those who believe it's all or nothing. I'm not going to stop them watching the game. I don't want them to be distracted during the wedding.
Of course.
Let's have the best of both worlds.
What a great story.
Yes.
Nice.
Well done.
And it reminds me of one I've heard similar before. Santo, our good friend Santo Chilaro is on the line. Are you there, Santo?
Hello, Jane. G'day, Mick.
G'day, Santo.
You heard us talking about that story. What a great, wonderful bro.
Either she's opened a Pandora's box or a can of worms there, because as you say, it's not going to end up nicely. As in, they won't be the cutting of the cake, there'll be the slitting of the wrists by before the end of the night, because one team has to lose. So
yes.
I don't know whether it's a great idea, but...
You've been through something similar, haven't you?
Mick, in 1997, I was in November of 1997, and if anyone follows soccer, they'll already start getting the heebie-jeebies right now when I just even mentioned that month. My cousin Enrico got married. You guys both know Mike.
We know Enrico,
Enrico. He got married, and that was the night that Australia was trying to qualify to get to its first World Cup in 25 years against Iran at the MCG. Now,
So he'd agreed to the wedding date, and then this came along. It was a World Cup qualifier at the MCG, and it happened to coincide with the set wedding date.
With the set wedding date. Now, Australia had already drawn 1-1 in Iran in front of 128,000 people.
Yes.
So they just needed a win, really. Even a draw, even a nil-all draw wasn't enough for Iran.
So now, you're at the wedding.
We're all at the wedding. We'd all been read the riot act. We'd been told, do not spoil this wedding, okay?
Yes.
The wedding, okay. Australia's already through, so just relax. Just relax at the wedding. Do not talk about we're for the wedding. And we said, yeah, all right. Now, what happened is that Australia scored a first goal in the first half, and the whole place erupted. No one said anything, but obviously there were people with radios on. And the whole
this is in between the service, Santo. They're still getting married.
No. This was after the service. This was at the extra reception.
Yep.
So it wasn't at the... Yeah, so it was at the night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone shut up. Everyone was... remember the riot act. We can be happy about this, but, you know, let's watch the replay when we get home, all that kind of stuff. But then it all broke loose about 30 minutes later, during the speeches, and Australia scored its second goal, and basically someone said, we scored another one! and the whole place just went up. People started leaving. People started leaving during the speech. And that's not the end of it. The weird thing is that there was one guy, I won't even mention his name. He was this was a guy at our wedding.
Oh, okay.
He left the wedding to go to the MCG because he said, I need to be present when Australia qualify for a World Cup. I need to be...
So he left the whole reception?
So he left the reception.
Oh, my God.
And, Jane, he arrived just in time to see Iran score two goals.
Oh.
And he qualified.
Okay, that's the curse of the wedding. And then, of course, we all know what happened after that.
Yeah.
So, well done. And how's Enrico? Is he still married?
He is. He is. And he's never, ever, ever had any kind of party, any anniversary or anything on the same night as a football game. But it was actually a great night, and he's great. Enrico, he sends him his regards, by the way.
We a shout-out to Enrico.
Good on you, Sando. Yes. Thanks for ringing in. You're a good man.
See you guys.
There you go. Bye. It can go wrong. Let's ask anyone else. Have you had your big day absolutely coincide with...
Yes, with a major sporting event.
I know a bloke who watched a Hawthorn Grand Final in a surgery while his wife was giving birth.
What?
While she was giving birth.
Oh, my God.
And he's looking up at the telly going, push, honey, push. Here we go. That's a free. Give us a call.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us your sporting stories like that.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Talking about the wonderful, generous bride-to-be.
What a woman.
Simone Starkey. She's from Yorkshire.
Good on
and
her.
And she is going to let her fiancé and
brother.
Everyone, brother, watch the Champions League final at their wedding. In fact, here's them talking about it.
The two brothers.
Endearing, yeah.
Phil, Savoni and James, could you just tell me how the day is going to pan out on your wedding day with the Championship final as the same day?
Well, I think obviously I've got to watch what I say, but the the wedding definitely comes first. I mean, thankfully the game isn't on until 8 p.m. and she's kindly agreed that we can actually show the game.
Kindly.
Yeah, what a woman.
That's the deal
if
these
days. It's not
days,
too late, I'd throw him a hat in the ring. What a woman.
I think she's awesome too. We've got some good stories coming up here. Let's go to Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, good. Was you at a clash with your wedding date?
So my uncle and auntie, they booked their wedding day for the week after the grand final.
Yeah.
And that was in 1977.
That was Collingwood, North Melbourne.
Yeah, drawn grand final the next week.
That happened to me. I was actually at the wedding was planned as well. And
On this occasion?
Yes, on this occasion. No. My cousin got married in 1977.
Are you sure you guys weren't going to the same wedding?
Oh, Valentine Kennedy, my cousin Val Kennedy and Linda.
Not
really.
Well, there weren't many weddings going to be. Well, there probably were because everyone thought it was the week after.
Would.
But I know everybody had tranny earplugs in that day listening to it.
So that's the thing. And also, too, if you're going to have a child or get pregnant, Don't do it 9 months before September. just a tip.
Well, on. That's why all the babies are born January, February.
Good
in
on you.
Football.
Arif or Arif? What am I saying here, mate?
Arif.
Arif. Okay, Arif. What was your double booking?
Look, it was the first day of honeymoon, mm-hmm. and Manchester United was playing Arsenal.
yeah, okay. Well, it was a bit of stake there.
I was the Manchester United supporter, and my wife was the Arsenal supporter.
And what did you do?
We were in a pub, we watched the game, and my team lost.
Oh. And your wife was pretty happy?
And this was what, on your honeymoon?
She
was ecstatic on the first day of our honeymoon, so I was just there sulking.
Yeah, you should have gone on a sex strike. They're very popular these days. Should have seen it.
Oh, thanks, Arif.
Well done, Arif.
Hello, Stuart.
Hey, guys, how are you? I love the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, what's your story?
Similar story.
Yeah.
Mum and Dad booked their wedding for October the 5th, 1963, 1 week after the grand final. Mum's family were all Cats fans and they were travelling nicely under Bob Davis. And in the middle of 1963,
yes.
there was a week of rain and a whole round was washed out.
Oh.
And it hasn't happened before or since. And the grand final goes back to October the 5th, 1963. Hawks are playing the Cats. Minister comes out at the service, announces the quarter time scores, and then starts the service.
Oh, there you go.
But they were pretty happy because the Cats won.
Well, there you go. That's good. And the priest was on board and made everyone happy.
Can I tell you this? I was at a funeral. It was the funeral of Leo Brooks. We were talking about him the other day. A fantastic fella and an old bloke. Anyway, let's just say you knew a few colourful...
Yes, I recall this fellow.
Local identities and some racing figures, maybe some underworld type figures.
Maybe a bit of newspaper in front of faces.
That's right. So at his funeral, there were a fair few likely types, a lot of who you'd recognise from the papers.
Mm. Gotcha.
And anyway, we were all there and halfway through the service, the minister and he's going, and anyway, and the other thing about leather, correct weight Randwick, correct weight Randwick, and started, I swear to God, started giving out race results in the middle of the service.
That's fantastic.
All right, well, there you go. Michael, you got one for us?
Yeah, mate. How you going, guys?
Yeah, good. Which code are we talking about?
AFL.
And what happened to you?
It was to my mum and my stepdad. Started 2017. They booked their wedding in for a long weekend, big grand final weekend. And my stepdad, being a diehard Brixton supporter, didn't think they'd get in.
he didn't have the faith.
The safest week in the world to book a wedding would be a grand final week.
Oh, my
week
God.
In
so what happened?
It was at the house. It was both our wedding, and the ceremony was pretty much rushed through just ready to keep watching.
can we keep the pace up?
And I do, and ring and kiss.
And done. Right, a second siren. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Well done all. There you go. It's not an unusual thing.
No, indeed.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Keep the promise of Australia to Australians.
Do you think I give a stuff about what you personally think?
You're a classic space invader.
And I couple all the time and I'm sick of it.
Very nice. Very nice.
We're on the road.
Live from the campaign trail, please welcome our political insider,
we're on the road again,
Adam Rosenbarks.
Hello, Rosie, come in. Where are you?
Jane and Mick, good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm in our... Oh, there you go. You can hear the town hall bells in Launceston ringing behind me. Let's let everyone know. It's 4:45, which means the workday's been over for about 4 hours.
And an unusual time for bells to ring at 2:15.
So, they've been going off every 15 minutes. I'm just reminding people.
So obviously, I know you've just come from Adelaide and you've gone to Launceston.
So today I was following around ScoMo. So we kicked off at a housing estate just outside of Adelaide in Morfettville.
Yeah.
So we went past a race course. It was nice to actually see the place that I've lost thousands of dollars over the years, and he walked through like a brand new housing estate and went through with a young Indian family who'd just migrated over here, and he was kind of talking about, you know, his the 5% deposit that he wanted everyone to be able to have to get into the first homeowners market, and I think straight after that he had them deported. Which is a really nice
part. Well, they sound like they're some of the lucky ones there. After Morfettville, headed to Tassie, yeah?
Yeah, so seriously, I am thinking of giving up comedy and becoming a political reporter because They don't do anything.
Now, that's an interesting observation, because really it's just getting on a bus, watching other people have organised all the stuff for them to do, isn't it?
That's exactly right. So when we got to Morphettville, everyone got out of the bus, they set up their cameras and stuff. They waited about half an hour for ScoMo to arrive. He did his press conference, and they all get back on the bus, and we get bussed out to RAF Air Force Base, and we fly on a chartered flight to Launceston while he went to Burnie, and now we're in Lonnie.
Why does he go to a different place than everybody else? Why aren't you on the flight with him?
Yeah, see, I thought we were going to be on the same flight going to Burnie, but for whatever reason, I don't think there was anything for the reporters
to see. Well, I think I know what he was doing in Burnie. He stepped into a cafe. He noticed that everybody was wearing shorts and thought they were going mad. He was a bit chilly. And he and his wife stepped out and had a bit of a coffee and a bit of a morning tea at a cafe in Burnie.
And people are covering this.
I have noticed that Jenny's been on the
Jenny's trail. Out and about, yes. She's happy to be out.
Is she?
I think she is.
Are you happy to be out and about? How long have people been on this bus, by the way?
Oh, so I've been on it for 2 days, but these guys have been on since the campaign was, the election was announced. So they've been on it for, 3 weeks. And I've heard that apparently there's a little thing called the campaign kilos. So because everyone stays in hotels and, eats dodgy plane food all the time, everyone just porks up. So they're all, piling on the weight. So Laurie Oakes is probably just a thin waif of a man.
He's been on one too many campaigns, that boy.
He really has. It's been unbelievable.
So next stop, Rosie, where are you going to?
Well, I'm back. I think I head to Melbourne after this, and I'm going to follow. I'm not sure what I'm actually supposed to do.
What are you doing? Mate, we sent you on the road to follow us, and all you've told us is he's wandered through a house with an Indian family. You've offered no fascinating insights. You don't seem to know what you're talking about.
Well, do you know anything about politics?
You're now in Launceston. If I could get a picture up, I bet you're sitting in the front bar of a pub somewhere. What are you doing, mate?
I saw a sign in Launceston, a big billboard that said dentist coming soon. So that's exciting.
Hey, what's the feeling like on the bus, mate? You're meeting some nice people, the other reporters and everyone.
They were actually super friendly today. And when we got to Launceston, I actually thought there was going to be a bit of action because there were some protesters out the front of the town hall that he went into. But unfortunately, he went in the back door. So, because I'd like a dozen emu eggs ready to roll.
Hey, Rosie, I heard about those protesters. They were standing in the fountain to protest, and someone turned the fountain on.
Yes, that's correct. I'm actually standing next to the fountain, just like a series of concrete steps. That's a really tragic fountain. Actually.
Unless they're vegan protesters, I'm not interested. All right, well, I suppose we'll have to check in with you again since we've put you on
the road. Well, Wednesday, and it's heating up because there's only a few more days till election day.
I'd like a fascinating political insight before you come home, all right?
Ask me any of the big questions.
We will.
I can possibly maybe answer them. Can I do my sign-off again?
Of course you can.
All right. Adam Rosenbach's getting the hell out of Launceston.
All right. By the way,
yeah.
I'm still tipping a boat will be turned back.
Oh, you are, aren't you?
Saturday. I know what the Liberals are like.
Does a cruise ship count?
You watch, this will be a last-minute Hail Mary from the Liberal Party with support from some sections of the media. A boat. Turn back.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You know your favourite song that has recently come out and smashed all records.
I'm just saying, Jane, it's easy to knock, and you've always knocked Taylor Swift.
I haven't always. It's only recently I've turned. You'll never find another like me.
Party
song gets stuck in my head.
The most added song on radio. Am I right, Dave?
Most added song on pop radio last week, I believe.
Wow. It's so limp, this song.
Well, you reckon that's limp?
Yeah.
What about this one? Have you heard about this?
This is Justin Bieber and Ed Sheeran.
They've collaborated together on a song, and you'd think, well, these are two worlds colliding.
Do you know what? I like them both individually. Mm. I do.
I'd like to hear a pup from the litter.
Well, let's put them together and let's hear what their song I Don't Care is like. Okay, that's enough. Okay. Stop.
What, couldn't they get into a studio or something?
It sounds a bit echoey, doesn't it?
Put it on their Casio.
Oh, my God. The film clip's even worse.
Is it?
Oh, no. It's them dressing up in costumes. Guys,
who's playing that, just out of interest?
Everyone, all other stations except us.
That'd be a pop radio thing.
Who's that designed to impress?
Hit FM would be playing that.
That impresses Cat Ladies.
12-year-old girls.
12-year-old girls and a lot of other people who like.
But not us. We're not playing that.
I don't think so.
Just
I
another little bit hit of that.
Okay.
Dangerous.
Sounds like this.
Just happened. I'm at a party I don't want to be at. Mickey. And I don't ever wear a suit and
tie at. Wondering if who's that singing? Cut the back. That's Biebs. Nobody's
even looking. That's not Biebs.
It is Bieber.
He's been auto-tuned.
Shut up. He can sing. Shall we
dance? Hell yeah. You've always liked Bieber.
I have.
You know he's Egg the Man.
Like yes, he has beer Egg the Man.
Don't talk over the top. Turn it up.
This is Ed Sheeran here. Everyone's
got so much to say. Ed Sheeran's written this.
Well, no, I think Bieber has.
That dirty, like sounds like a little ringer. Sounds like a... Remember his hit out on Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I do. Oof. That was terrible. So
this is up there with
Here's
it.
Here's the chorus. Oh, where's the beef, guys?
That's not how I would have done it.
Really?
All right. Look,
turn it off.
Cowbell? It's got cowbell.
Oh,
turn it up. Was that cowbell?
This is a really bad song. I'm sorry. This is disgraceful. And sorry, the words are,
no
I'm
tay-tay.
At a party and I'm so famous and yet I don't want to talk to anyone.
Mm.
And everyone wants a piece
I'm a ringer.
Bieber and Sheeran. That's what you get.
Hey, we went and saw Ed Sheeran in concert together.
We did, but
you
that was
you and me.
Yeah. Together. I didn't know much.
Hey?
I interviewed him. Ed Sheeran.
You always have to one up
you
us.
Talked us.
Hang on.
We're talking about our happy times at a concert.
Sit on the end of his bed too.
Let me see if I can remember.
Hey, this is Ed Sheeran on Triple M. You're listening to Dangerous Dave, the most dangerous man in the universe.
You are a sad, lonely man.
You suck.
You really are. Starting to worry me.
No, I think you're fine. No, he's a ripper.
Were you on the end of his bed?
What happened? No, he was.
Because you're on the end of John Bon Jovi's bed. We know that.
He
in
was
his
sitting
hotel
right
room.
Where you're sitting, Ed Sheeran. You're a lovely guy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah. Stand by. We've got Andrew Denton coming up soon.
I want to play a game.
Oh, yes.
Can't
sorry.
Can we play a game?
Of course. I'm
this
getting
is your idea.
It was my idea.
What's your idea? What's your game?
All right. Well, so I've been seeing this go around Twitter
right.
the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You name...
Bit of time, spare time on your hands, haven't you, Jane?
No, I'm so busy in the middle of the night when I'm awake. Six concerts or gigs you've been to.
Yeah.
Live concerts or gigs you've been to. One's a lie.
One's a lie. We'll have to guess which one.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yes.
Well, who do you want to start? How do you want to start? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right,
you
go first.
Yeah, all right. So these bands I've seen and one's a lie.
All right.
All right. Yeah. You two.
There's people whose beds you've sat on the end of.
Yep. Destiny's Child. Billy Joel, Bon Jovi, Tears for Fears, Metallica.
Wow. I want to say Tears for Fears, but he's put that in because he knows that's what we're going
to
go for.
And I'm pretty sure he's been to Metallica because...
I'm going to say you too. I'm going to say...
I've seen you too.
Oh, I'm going to
say... It was Tears for... Hang on, I hadn't said it
yet. I haven't guessed one.
I'm
really
thinking. I'm going to say Tears for Fears.
Yes, you're right.
Tears for Fears. All right.
Jeez. Okay, do you want to
go, Joan?
ABBA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Check.
AC/DC.
Check.
The Rolling Stones.
Ooh.
James Taylor.
Check.
Have I said Boz Gags?
No, but I'll allow it.
And the Dixie Chicks.
I'm going to say, who do you go back? Rolling Stones. You haven't seen the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, you have, I reckon.
You're not good enough. You wouldn't.
What do you say, Dave?
I say Boz Gags.
I haven't seen the Rolling Stones.
What? Jane.
I have seen Boz Gags.
Here we go.
Lido Shuffle.
Can I go?
Yes.
Sting. Neil Diamond. Devo. Adele, Simon and Garfunkel, Kiss.
Oh, hang on a minute. Did your mum not let you go see Kiss when you?
I know you've seen Adele because you love her.
Yeah, you do love her.
I know you've seen Kiss because you're in the Kiss army.
Interesting.
Yeah, Sting. I know performed in Melbourne. When...
Simon and Garfunkel at the MCG in Melbourne, maybe a long time ago. I say you haven't seen Sting.
I haven't seen Kiss
because
my mother wouldn't let me go.
Oh, that's right.
Pie face. How dare you?
I remember I went to my room I slammed the door and I said, I have no mother.
Mick, how are you even still here?
I don't know.
Well, they're here later this year, by the way, Kiss, so you get to redeem after all these years. Yeah. All right, Andrew Denton to join us next.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
It sure is, and we have lots to discuss in the big second hour. What's that show? The little one. Is it still on air?
Game of Thrones, Game Mick, of Thrones. You clown.
Does anyone still watch it?
Does.
Everyone's watching
Don't be
it.
Ridiculous.
When's it on? Is it on tonight?
It's the penultimate episode was on last night. There's one ep to go and the whole thing's over.
That's it.
There's another mistake that viewers spotted. Mm. And
it's still on.
I'm going to talk to
you. You're lucky if you can see anything these days, aren't you? You're lucky if it's not a complete blackout.
That's
all
true.
Right. We've got, we're going to take your calls, we're going to take your tweets. Don't you worry about that, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Last year when we chatted to Andrew Denton, we got an insight into why he was coming back to TV.
I have incredible need for a Logie, as you know.
We also found out about Channel 7's backup plan if his show didn't rate.
You didn't expect Pete Evans to be hosting some kind of cooking show by F4.
I hope he's your first interview.
Yeah.
If I know Channel 7, I'm sure it's been suggested.
Oh, look, no, Mick, he's our second.
And I think I've discovered the financial reason Andrew signed on for Series 2 of Interview.
Look, Andrew. Some friends of mine lost a lot of money on Mick Corney.
Would
you please welcome back to the show, Andrew Denton.
Well, that's hurtful. Hello, Andrew, how are you?
G'day, Mick. G'day, Jean.
Andrew.
Gene, the well-known Gene.
Well,
can I just want to... You've put an earworm in my head there, and I love it. That Justin Bieber, Ed Sheeran song is great. And the cowbell makes it for mine.
Thank you.
Andrew, you're seriously not saying that that's a tune that you would tap your knee to.
You seem to know your way around some music. Are you? Do you hear we were playing our game about six concerts, one of which is a fraud? Did you hear us playing that game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to give it a go?
I'd
be fascinated to hear.
Okay.
What concerts?
So it's six concerts.
Nothing orchestral.
Live gigs.
No opera.
One's a lie.
You're a cerebral man.
I hate opera. I hate it with every bone in my body. Okay, six concerts.
Yeah.
See how you go with this lot.
All right.
Rose Tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Rolling Stones.
Mm.
James Brown.
Wow. Mm.
Paul McCartney.
Mm.
R.E.M. Elton John.
Oh, so you have not been to one of these.
There's one.
One of these is a lie.
Now, Mickey absolutely knows the answer to one of these because he was at one of those concerts or performances, I should say, with me.
Right.
Yes.
And Rolling Stones.
Now, R.E.M. I would have loved to have gone to, and they're not touring anymore. That's one of my dream bands I want to see.
Mm.
Mm.
He wants wants us to say James Brown. He's begging us to say James Brown.
I was going to say James
Do
Brown.
Not...
Why do you say that? Why?
Under no circumstances.
I'm going to say Elton John.
Elton John.
All right, we go
Sir Elton, thank you.
I'd say no because I think I was at that. I was.
Really? You're at the Elton John concert? It's revealed.
I was saying Rose Tattoo. Bang, there it is.
Okay, you're wrong.
What is it? Elton John.
It's Paul McCartney. Never saw Paul McCartney.
What have you got against the Beatles?
Well, who are they even? You know, are they on that Game of Thrones show? I don't know.
If you've still got time, I can recommend to go and watch Paul if he's doing anywhere.
But I'd hurry. Would you interview Paul McCartney?
Yeah, look, I'd love to actually. He keeps saying no.
He keeps saying.
Does he? That's annoying.
Can I ask? You've spoken to some of the biggest in the world. Is there someone that you really covet that you've really tried and
they just won't
agree to a time or a place at this stage?
Rupert Murdoch. I know that might sound weird, but who wouldn't want to talk to Rupert Murdoch?
There's a lot of questions I have for Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah,
I think the country.
It would be a fascinating interview, and it's not like you're going to. Ambush him because people know the type of interviewing you do, so he could be well prepared. And what's been the response?
No. And also no, and then followed by no, and then never, and also no.
And call again, and we'll have you killed.
Yes.
But do you find optimistic. That interesting, Andrew, for somebody who makes their living out of newspapers that interview people, that the Mr. Bigwig at the top says no?
I think it shows how smart he is because he knows very well, his empire has made careers rise and fall, so he knows how it works.
How do you feel when there's so many people that you probably approach and you get so many yeses, but what about the red tape you go through, or what about the don't ask this and don't ask that? What's your philosophy on that? How do you handle that?
Look, it doesn't happen too often, but every now and then. So, for example, Chris Martin from Coldplay, it's often not the person you want to interview, it's the person's people.
Yep.
So we were told, yeah, but you can't talk to him about Apple and Gwyneth. This is when they were together.
Yeah.
And we said, look, it's going to be very hard to have a long interview and just not mention the family. So we will want to ask some questions, but we won't make a welter of it. But if he doesn't want to do it, that's fine. And that seemed to be the best response, because in the end he came on and I asked him a few questions and it was all cool. But it doesn't happen too often. And if somebody's really problematic, usually we just pass, because it doesn't work if it's a kind of a scripted.
Well, for someone like Mick Malloy to say you were to interview Mick, there would be a lot of problems. Ask me anything.
Okay, here we go. We'll just see you warm up on me. Ask me anything you want. Nothing is off limits. You can just open up and have a crack. Go.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Mickey. The Kitten Strip Club.
Okay, this interview is over, and you're better than that, Andrew. You are better than that. Let's go to a song, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Andrew's interview this week with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Look out.
Two of my favourite people in the world.
Andrew Denton's interview tonight at 9 on 7. More with him right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Andrew Denton's interview tonight, 9 o'clock on 7. He's joining us in studio right now.
And we'll get to that in just a moment. I need to know, I'm struggling, Elton John, we did see together.
Yes.
Was it a concert?
No.
Well, it wasn't, not strictly, it was a private performance. And who in Australia could afford a private performance? Is it coming back to you?
It was James Packer's wedding.
Yeah, we were both guests.
Can I say that's the first time ever in my life I've been in a limo jam. So it was at their house and it was pouring with rain.
Yes, that's right.
And I just remember John Simons from Aussie Home, Aussie Home, was having limo rage in front of me because it was raining. And there was a stack of limos
that's
that
hilarious.
Went for about 500 metres.
Aussie John.
And I remember down the road. We were all greeted at the door by Kerry, which was kind of a scary moment because, hello, Mr. Packer.
Well, it was a bit confronting to me considering the Mick Malloy show had just been axed.
Oh, yes.
A couple of weeks before.
That's right.
And he really wanted to talk about it.
Oh,
I had to bustle through.
But I remember you saying to me afterwards, because you were with Sophie then, and I remember you said afterwards, I knew shit was getting weird when I was on the dance floor with Sophie and I realised I was dancing next to John and Jeanette Howard.
There's a mental picture. I will knock it out of my head.
And a woman carrying a log. That's all I remember. Now, let's get on to you. I've been on the receiving end of an interview. Well, we were both interviewed, I think, on your first, your first Tonight Show.
At Channel 7.
At Channel 7, way back when. What can we expect tonight with Steve?
Well, a couple of greats. Steve Martin and Martin Short, who are great friends,
all
of course.
All time great.
And this will mean plenty to you guys. Like, I've been really lucky to, you know, people like Robin Williams and Jerry Seinfeld and Mel Brooks. But for me, Steve Martin in particular is just in somewhere else again.
He is.
And
I
never actually thought I'd sit down to talk to him.
Really?
I love Marty Short. Marty just has always entertained me.
He's a machine. He's a comic machine.
And he is
an energy.
Yeah. And you'll see that tonight because Steve is he's very cerebral and I think interviewing him on his own would have been hard, but Marty, mischief all the way through. And there's a beautiful moment. I thought, well, how am I going to have some fun with these guys? So I came up with a game called Which Martin Is That? Where I gave them quotes about each of them, but I didn't say who it was about.
And
they were from their peers like Tom Hanks and Sarah Silverman. And it was fascinating to see these guys. They were suddenly real game players. I reckon it would have been, and they were really trying to get the points. But there was a punchline to it, which and one of the thrills of my career was getting them with a great punchline and seeing Steve Martin and Martin Short really belly laugh. So it's worth it tonight. You'll see what it is.
Don't spoil it now. Everybody can watch it. You know what I like, because they go back so long, Steve Martin and Martin Short, we were talking to Ben Elton the other week and he's talking about Stephen Fry and Kenneth Branagh and they're all still working together, they're all still in touch, and you can't fake that up, can you?
No, it's very real. I watched where Martin Short inducted Steve Martin into one of the many halls of fame in America. And first of all, he had a great line. He said, why are we honouring Steve Martin tonight? because no one spoke up at the time and now it's too late. But then he got into this very heartfelt thing and he sang a song, which in fact Steve had composed with Edie Brickell. And they cut to Steve and he was really misting up.
Wow.
And then Steve came on and said, what I love working with Martin Short is that he understands the concept of 60-40, which is a great response. But so
a good second
always,
banana. Yeah.
They're always riffing off each other, but there's a genuine affection and friendship there.
I know you're fans of both these guys. Did you learn anything about either of them that you previously did not know?
No, that's a really good question. I guess because I'd researched so heavily.
You have. You've known them for a long time.
Not really. But something which shouldn't have surprised me and wouldn't surprise you guys, even in the interview I did, and I got there to watch them rehearsing, they work every moment. So there's nothing for all their talent and for all their achievements. There's nothing that they're leaving to chance.
Yeah.
And they're perfecting and improving.
So it's rehearse still, even at the peak of their careers
and
like they are.
So I was watching them rehearsing for their show, which is great, by the way. It's really good entertainment. And they just came up with a line in rehearsal and it's like, okay, we're going to write that in. So, and I did that tour with Billy Crystal a couple of years ago where I was interviewing him, and I saw the same thing at that level. These guys work every moment.
It's not an accident, is it?
No. Hey, that show, Andrew Denton's interview, Tuesdays tonight, 9 p.m. on 7. Tune in because you will see a great show with a couple of really, well, a couple of my comedy heroes as well. So it'd be fantastic.
All right, Andrew, good luck.
It's a pleasure.
Don't stuff it up.
No, I won't stuff it up. And we've got to talk about kittens at some point.
All right. This
stand by for
is
Mick
over.
Malloy.
Goodbye.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
I'm going to talk about a show that you love. I know you love, and you love when I talk about it.
What's
Game
this?
Of Thrones.
Oh, my God. Is that...
This is the second last week ever that it's been on, ever, that we're going to see it.
Does anyone still watch it?
Everyone's watching it.
Oh, come on.
You know they are, because you know when you go to your Twitter page and you see what's trending, Game of Thrones is off the chart.
Not really.
This is the second last episode and a lot happened. Now,
what happened?
I'm going to tell spoiler alert, but not. If you haven't watched it by now, you're not a proper fan.
What happened? A dragon killed someone? I'll have a guess. A dragon killed someone?
Tick.
There was a fight?
Oh.
Big sword fight?
Tick.
Someone slept with another family member?
Well, if it's retrospective, yes.
Oh.
Yes, there was a meeting of couples. And I'm sorry, I want to stress this. If you're a proper fan of the show, don't blame me if I'm telling you something you don't know yet. It was on last night. It was on actually at 11 a.m. You could have watched it yesterday.
Why are you getting so nervous?
Oh, my God, because you don't know the wrath of fans of this show.
People
have
a chance
to
turn the radio down, so you're right.
Do you reckon people watch this show dressed up? Do you reckon they sit at home?
Absolutely.
Dressed up in medieval gear.
Mate, I pulled out my parents' old pewter goblets and used to get that out at 9:30 in the morning.
Bit
when
of
it was
cosplay.
On. Yes, it was a bit of cosplay, but alone.
So you watched Game of Thrones with a pewter mug goblet.
At 9:30 in the morning.
You're a sad woman.
I think that's fine.
You are completely, utterly.
All the kids are out of the house. Sit there on my couch and I had my pewter because every time they're pouring a lot of wine and we're like, more wine. And I go, don't mind if I do.
So you play a drinking game. So every time they have one, you have one.
Yes.
Jeez, that little dwarf gets smashed, doesn't he?
He does a lot. And
someone will poison your chalice.
Hey, speaking of poisoning, there's a poisoning theory throughout this episode as well. Just saying. You know how they made a mistake last week?
By the way?
Just calm down. Last week, accidentally, on the set, was left a Starbucks coffee mug.
Right. Well, this seems to be of more interest. Even the catering crew have given up. Yeah, they don't care anymore.
Well, this is a doozy because in the episode that has just gone to air, there is an embrace of Jaime Lannister with another character, and I'll save you from that, who is embracing. But people know
Are you telling us or not telling us?
Shush.
Why are you shielding facts and not the others?
People know that Jaime Lannister had his right hand cut off.
Glug, too many goblins. That's what it sounds like. You probably can't remember.
I can. His right hand was chopped off.
I know that guy. He's only got one hand.
Yes. He has an iron and he's got made an iron hand, right?
I'd like to see him smoke with that.
He probably could. He's very good with a sword.
How's he go to the toy?
I get slaves to pull it out for him. Well, that's the kind of stuff they do in Game of Thrones.
Oh,
it is. Anyway, he's having an embrace. Remember, his right hand is an iron fist.
Yeah.
Well, there's there's image of them, and the iron fist is gone and his hand's grown back.
What?
How can that be? His hand's grown back. When the, if you watch, go back and watch again.
Yeah.
Remember to put your iron hand on, mate.
Is that his fault or is that costume?
It's everyone's fault. Mm. From the editor to the costume
people. Hey, dude, you've only got one hand.
Yeah. Remember.
At least spray paint your own hand.
Four series you've had one hand. It must have been annoying. Didn't you feel something? You go, oh, I feel so light. Light as a feather all of a sudden in this final episode and scene of my life.
Do you know what? That's what? Ruined the whole thing for me. I was going to watch it. I was going to watch the whole eight series.
It has not. But I'll tell you what, there is characters dying. They're dropping like flies and people are very distressed. There's people pouring out emotion.
Is it sad or are you, yes, it or is sad you're because happy to see the end of this?
No, life. You invest a lot of time and energy into these characters. But did you know it's totally normal to grieve fictional characters?
Okay, no. No, psychologists, I don't believe it is.
Psychologists have said.
Sorry, Jane.
No, it's okay to have a parasocial relationship. That means you're referring, in clinical psychology, a one-way bond we develop with characters from films and TV shows.
Okay.
And you
I
get
disagree.
Upset.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think you're
an idiot. You really do.
I think you're an idiot.
No, I don't think so. Hey, I'm hearing a lot of people now. I'm.
Who have you grieved? Who have you ever grieved?
Molly from A Country Practice. When she died.
Yeah. How old are you?
Me too.
Are you 102? Do we all remember that?
That was the biggest moment in the 80s.
It affected me so much.
It was, mate. It was the biggest moment on TV.
How'd she die? Was it head-on car accident?
It was cancer and she just went out into the field.
And Brendan's running going, Molly, Molly. And then her eyes shut and then that was it.
The pig was there and
all. Is this on? Hello. Are we doing a national radio show? Or
it's terrible.
Are we just...
No, it was really distressing. When Patrick from Offspring died, oh my God. Just like that. What do you mean he's dead? What do you mean? I was screaming at the television. I was screaming. Why would you do that to us?
Red Dog, when Red Dog died, I mean, that was... I mean,
well,
spoiler
that's a movie.
Alert, but
no,
but
I'm saying we're talking about television shows.
They should have put him down.
Yeah.
It would have been a better... Bouncer from Neighbours.
Oh.
Yes. Sure yes, Mickey. Really? Win a prize.
Can't remember.
Bouncer the dog from
Neighbours. You were upset when Bouncer from Neighbours died.
I'm still recovering. Bouncer was...
Please, why don't you tell us, who affected you when someone died, one of these characters? Give us a call, 133353. It could be, did someone die in Dawson's Creek?
What about
I don't know.
The hot chick from Breaking Bad? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
that was terrible.
Yeah, I'm grieved.
That was sad.
All right, 133353. What character have you grieved over?
Get
Give
involved.
Us a ring now.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
What characters you've grieved over?
Because Game of Thrones coming to an end and they're dropping like flies,
People
all the major characters.
Who's going to win?
Who's going to win?
Who's going to win?
Arya, that's who I say, is going to win the whole of Game of Thrones. Right. She's a character that will mean nothing to you, but I'm just saying her name. It means nothing to you, Dave. You don't watch it either.
I don't watch it. God, is she the blonde one?
Oh, my God. God help me. Who am I working with?
You're a Handmaid's Tale, man.
Strictly Handmaid's Operator.
We're saying it's totally normal to grieve fictional characters when they die, according to science. And people have gone
through... According to science?
Yes.
You can't be serious. Yeah. You're trying to pass this off as...
I'm not passing it off,
some
mate.
Some kind of valid study that...
You have a connection with these people. You watch them. You've
got a name for
your
it.
Lives.
It's called parasocial relationship.
I agree.
And this is from...
It's called you've got nothing better in your life.
That's so very judgmental. Yeah. There's a lot of people who invest a lot of time and energy into their binge watching.
Yeah.
Like me. Hey, let's All go right. to some callers. John.
G'day, guys.
John, who's a character
John,
you're grieving?
Did you go the blub?
I did. My wife and I have been together for 12 years and we went the blub for the first time together in all that time seeing Avengers Endgame.
Whoa. It's a movie. It's not a TV show.
That's all right. We're getting it through. Yes.
And what was the bit where
don't
you cried at?
No.
It's been out for a month.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's been out for a month.
You can't.
It's the biggest selling movie of all time.
Thor lost his hammer. Thor.
And did you both look at each other and have tears the same time?
Well, as I'm telling my friends, I say, oh, we cried together. My wife, she's like, I cried a bit. You wept. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I wept.
Wow. Wept and crying. There's a difference. All right,
yeah,
got
that's
it.
That's right. So I cried.
Hey, we put John on the list, even though he's a bit of a crybaby.
You could go to the Red Centre for the Big Red Bash to see Midnight Oil. Good luck there,
John.
No, I love an emotional man. Yeah. Thanks, John. Let's go to Lois.
Hi, guys.
How are you, Lois?
Yeah, good, thank you.
You are bringing back a memory for me that's incredible.
Yep.
Oh, my God, yeah. Maggie Doyle from Blue Heelers.
Oh, my God. When Lisa McCown was shot down in the street.
You can't shoot Lisa McCown.
No.
Oh, I know.
She's Australia's sweetheart.
She's a national treasure.
She is.
Yeah.
Hang on, did she die?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, I'm re-watching it now and I'm waiting for the build-up of when it all happened again.
Okay. Oh, you're mad.
You're going a bit mad now, Lars. Why are you watching it again?
Why you put yourself through that?
And shouldn't you let it go?
Oh, because the feeling from the first time, like I'm just waiting to see if I feel that depth again. It's unreal.
What about prisoner? Has anyone died in prisoner?
Everyone dies in prisoner. Wentworth, you mean?
Take that tone.
Hey, Wentworth, they die a very violent, horrendous death.
What about the freak?
Oh, yeah. Vinegar tits.
Lizzie Birdsworth.
Let's go to Gary.
I think Lizzie Birdsworth.
Gary, you've got a very emotional one. I remember this day very well.
Yeah, it was quite emotional. Lieutenant Colonel Henry White.
Oh, from MASH.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was so sad.
That was a sad one, that's for sure.
It was a lovely memory.
What did he die of in the end? Can you remember?
A plane crash.
Remember they were saying goodbye to him and he was like finally going. Oh. No, double whammy.
He didn't crash while he was leaving. Did he?
No. He was flying back from Tokyo to San Francisco.
Yes. But he'd left MASH.
Right.
Yeah, he'd left.
He'd left the service.
Yeah, he was.
Sorry,
that's not my memory of it.
I've got Mick trying to tell me what MASH is about, and I don't believe he even watched the episode.
Did anyone die in the Brady Bunch? You'd know that, wouldn't you?
No one did, actually.
Not Sam the Butcher?
No. Let's go to Paul. Paul, what upset you?
Sam the Butcher was a serial killer.
Chrissy on The Sopranos dying.
Chris on The Sopranos, of course.
Oh, my God. That was very traumatic.
Tony puts the
fingers over the nose. You know, sometimes that's merciful.
When you gotta go, will you do that for me?
Even if you don't need it. Even in your sleep.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Thank you, Paul. Let's go to Jackie.
Hello.
Yeah, Jackie. What upset you when you found out a television hero had died?
Well, it was Simon Townsend's Wonder World and it was his pet dog, Woodrow.
Woodrow. Beautiful old Woodrow. That was a hound, wasn't it? Yeah.
A bloodhound.
How'd he go?
Bloodhound.
How'd he go?
Oh, too much drool. I don't know.
We haven't seen one episode where he had a bucket on his head. Is that the start of the end?
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, really embarrassing.
Thank you for your calls, everyone.
That's an up note to finish on, yeah. Woodrow.
Well, it is, but I'm saying it's all right for you all to have a bit of a sniffle and a bit of a grief over some of the characters. Stand by because...
Have you ever been a character that's died?
Me?
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Oh, well, my character in House Husbands were killed up pretty quick, so I say yes, I died.
Okay.
I died on the screen.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well done.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, thanks to the HSV Chevrolet Silverado. Head to hsv.com.au to find your local dealer.
This vehicle could be in Game of Thrones and win the war.
It could win the war on its own. Could knock down eight towers. Good luck with that, you dragon. Imagine trying to put this thing out.
No, couldn't. Yeah. It's unstoppable.
It would go straight through it.
It would.
Bang!
It could pull a castle.
Can't be stopped.
It could pull the whole thing.
It could just ride to the gates of oblivion, this thing, with me behind the wheel. And, you know, if you're trying to win an election, ScoMo, Bill.
We've mentioned this.
Put a flag on the bonnet, get behind the wheel and drive it around Australia.
Stop ignoring our suggestion.
As you
it's
hit
really
town,
good.
People will be lining the sides of the road. It'll be like a royal visit. You'll have the window down. You'll have your trucker's arm out.
Bang.
He'll be saying, vote for me, idiots.
Yep. And you can
do all your planning.
To drive
a Silverado.
Forget the office. You can work from the cabin. You can do all your planning.
Of course.
All your strategic meetings. All your flyers.
Forget
can
the
be
bus.
In the back.
You'd have all the journalists in the back.
Yeah. It's better than a bus.
It's better than a bus. Stick your bus, fare up your clacker.
Now, it's also
and get
got...
get behind the wheel of the Chevrolet Silverado. I love it.
It's got a heater leather-wrapped steering wheel.
That's nuts.
Oh, my God. Can I say that
That's
again?
Nuts. Duh.
Heated leather-wrapped steering wheel.
What about for your bot?
Oh, as if, of course they'll have that. They've got dual zone automatic climate control. They always have something for your bot.
Yeah.
Voice-activated technology for radio and phone, all that. Oh, yeah. Bluetooth.
So it's like Kit the supercar.
It is. Yeah.
You can go, Silverado, change stations, please. Silverado.
It will say, I can only play Triple M.
Silverado, knock down the stop sign.
No, I won't do that.
Why not?
Because it's just a unique car.
It's too sensible for that.
It's too sensible.
What about school pickup? Would you?
Oh, man. Imagine.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you
get
all
out of the
those
way.
Stupid mothers in their pissy cars.
And their yoga pants.
Oh, and their yoga pants are going, oh, my God, who's that impressive woman in her HSV Chevrolet Silverado? Is that Jane Kennedy? Oh, my God. She's changed.
You know what
I'd
do?
She's tough.
If I was in this Chevrolet Silverado, I'd just go the long way. Every time.
Spend as much time as you can in it.
James Bond should be driving one of
That's
these.
That's true.
It's the car of the future. Don't muck around with anything else. Oh, and yeah. All you HSV guys and girls who remember when you had the HSVs, you've got to step up now. It's time to step up to the Chevrolet Silverado. That's where it's all
the
happening.
The Silverado could tow the bus carrying all the journalists.
This is the vehicle
Five
for you.
5-ton plus towing, idiots.
Yeah. Go.
What more do you want?
HSV.com.au to find your local dealer.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We were talking about a couple in the UK who she was so magnanimous, the bride-to-be, she was letting her groom and his brother watch the, what was it there?
The Champions League final between Liverpool and Tottenham.
She was setting up a screen at the reception.
Night.
We thought that was wonderful.
So it got us talking. We're asking about people who were double booked. Steve-O's on the line. Steve-O, were you double booked?
Oh, Mick, I was. I got shunted a real, real good one.
What happened?
So 1997, set the scene. It was super.
Hurry up, mate. We've only got a couple of minutes.
All right, here we go. But anyway, the Bucks party. Anyway, we front up to the pub, which was booked, you know, a month in advance.
Yep.
We rock up, and then basically all of the big screen TVs has got Lady Di's funeral.
I was talking about a mood spoiler on a Bucks party.
Oh, my God. Now, I know how it affected me and my friends.
You got a stripper to dress up like Princess Di.
The strippers will be upset. Is that what happened, Steve-O?
All the guys were just crying in their beers. You couldn't change your channel.
Give Steve-O a prize, mate.
We'll put you on the standby. Let's
He's
get a big trip.
On the draw. Good on you, Steve-O.
Thanks, Steve-O. That was a very, very upsetting night for me. In fact, my girlfriends and I, we went round to my place. We had candles everywhere and we did liturgical dancing when all the songs came on and
were
we danced.
Pulling the piss?
No, I'm not pulling the piss. And Rob walked in with Michael, our friend, and they go, What are you doing? We said, oh my God, we're so upset, but we have to dance and it's Elton John singing. And, and they just said, see you later. We're out of here. And they went away. When they came back hours later, we were still doing it. We'd had a few.
When she passed.
It was terrible.
I was in Bali and I'd had a couple. And I was in the back of a car and were being surrounded by people on motorbikes and I was pretending I was Princess.
Oh, my
okay.
God. That's your take on it, is it?
Go, you killed it, Princess. Now you've come for me. Oh, no. Leave me alone.
Oh, no. I'll never forget that. Hey, we've got a big show tomorrow. We're going.
Too soon? Was it too soon to do a Princess?
Yes, it was.
Is it? What?
Even now?
It's 97. No, you're right now.
No, right. You're now.
Leave me alone.
Tomorrow we're talking to Stan Grant, which he's got a new book out. And Rosie's on the election campaign trail. And Dave O'Neill's here as well. Paparazzi won't leave you alone, Mickey. Is that what you're saying?
They got me with a kebab.
Leave him alone.
Stop your. We'll see you for a Wednesday, Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.